From Norwalk to New Canaan, from Monroe to Milford, Fairfield County listens to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Good morning. I don't know if you had a chance to hear about this horrific slaying of this young woman in Chinatown who went back to her apartment in the wee small hours of the morning and was stalked and skulked and ultimately invaded in her own home by a crazed lunatic who stabbed her 40 times. 40 times. And then hid under the bed or the sofa. He was there when the police got there. Her screams awoke her neighbor. One neighbor was said to believe, he said he thought he was hearing a horror movie. He really didn't think it was real, but it turned out to be real life screams of this poor woman who was attacked by a stranger she would never know and mercilessly slaughtered. It turns out that this perpetrator has a criminal record, had recently been arrested and was allowed out without any bail, prompting a lot of people to look at New York and say to themselves, what the hell happened? The woman's name, incidentally, is Christina Yuna. And it's a horrific story. And so I thought it was really important for us to understand, what is the state of the law right now? Joining us is Frank Bevilacqua, an experienced criminal defense attorney. He's in the business of representing people who are accused of crimes. And he joins us now from DePamphilis and Valerie. Frank, thank you so much for coming on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
So can you tell us, if somebody nowadays is arrested in Connecticut and they are arrested for, let's see, what was this guy arrested for? Do you know the background? This guy, he had a rap sheet that was so long. I think he was arrested for having a weapon. He has three open cases and a record of several escapes from police custody. He's only 25 years old. He's described as a homeless career criminal. And the last time he was arrested, they didn't even think to put him out, you know, under bail or anything. What's going on in Connecticut right now with respect to when people are arrested and they may have a knife or they may have a gun or something? They haven't used it yet, but they have it and they shouldn't be having it. And they're exhibiting menacing, threatening behavior. What do we do?
Oh, Connecticut would not release an individual like that. They would put, well, let's put it this way. They would put a substantial bond on someone that has extensive criminal history, acts of violence in their past, convictions in their past, failures to appear for arraignments or court dates. They would put a bond on them, not to punish them, but to assure that they're present in court. Now, there is a sliding scale based on criminal behavior. Acts of violence, even when you were discussing domestic there will be a bond, a substantial bond put on an individual to reassure their presence in court and to protect the public. If they're a menace to the public, the judge would issue a high bond. And, you know, defense attorneys such as myself, we would argue that the bond is in excessive because of the behavior or lack of criminal history or lack of acts of violence in the past or financial harm that it would do to an individual if they can't secure a bond. But I don't know one judge after what you just described wouldn't keep somebody
Listen to this
up.
Case. Listen to this, Frank. He had three open cases in Manhattan dating only to last year. He's only 25 years old. 27 counts of criminal mischief from an arrest last month. But on September 28th, he slugged a strap hanger in the right eye at the Grand Street station while the victim was swiping a Metro card. In other words, he just punched somebody in the eye while they were trying to get through and get on the subway. And he never spent a night in jail and he didn't have any bond.
Yeah, that's insane. New York's the legislature in New York has taken all power away from the judges and all powers away from law enforcement, and this is what you get. Congratulations, New York. And I'm from New York, and it's pathetic what has happened to that city, and it's pathetic what happened to the people that were educated, are in the field, such as the prosecutors, the defense bar, and the judges that handle things on a daily basis and what the legislature has forced on them and has really bound all of their hands on their behavior. And it's gross, and this is what you get. You have people beating innocent individuals that's just trying to go back and forth to work and live a peaceful life, and this is the harm you have. Now, I'm sorry this if the to the family, obviously, of this poor victim, but if this individual has mental deficiency, and that's not this little girl's problem. They expose someone so dangerous to the public,
exactly.
He should be secured in a facility where he could get the treatment he needs and he's not going to harm innocent individuals.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is we know that for the other woman, that poor, the other Asian woman, the one that was shoved off of the train tracks, he was a known schizophrenic. And that, in my mind, was an avoidable tragedy because there's no question that the people who knew him knew that he should be supervised. And he should have either been supervised on medicine or in a psychiatric facility where he couldn't get out, a lockup. No question about it. But this person might have just been a lifelong criminal and not necessarily schizophrenic or anything like that, just a criminal. We have some of those as well. And there's no excuse for the fact that he was continued to, in the last year, 27 counts of criminal mischief, knowingly slugging a strap hanger. What is going on?
You know what? It's who we vote for, because this is what happens when you have legislators in power that strip the judges of what they can do. They deal with individuals. There's always a repeat offender. And if this individual was brought before a judge or given the law enforcement the ability to bring him before a judge and have him arraigned within 24 hours of his arrest in New York, and they see his history. There's, you know, in Connecticut, we have a whole bail commission service, and I may not agree with them every time, but I respect what they do.
What do they do?
They have a job. Well, they investigate criminal history, failures to appear, likelihood of offenses, everything to that end. And there's a power they have because it's an educated suggestion on what the bail should be for each individual in individual case. It's not take one for all, column A, everything goes this way, at column B, everything goes to the left. In New York, regardless of what their past is, if they're involved in a crime such as a low-level misdemeanor or nonviolent felony, they're just let go. But it's wrong. There's no accountability. They stack up the charges in New York, and then maybe they'll eventually get to court or maybe they won't get to court. But there's no one looking over these individuals. They're not accountable for their behavior, and they keep perpetuating the crime. And that's why we have the city in the condition it is. The former administration pushed for this.
Yeah, they did.
And the bail reform, and it's the poor people. Well, it's an old story, and I'm a little tired of it because the poor people have more access to services, to highly educated public defenders. That's what they do on a daily basis. They have access to social workers, and some organizations will help post a bond for the needy. So it's wrong. It is so wrong what's going on in New York, and I hope it doesn't trickle over to Connecticut because it's not going to help defense attorneys. It's not the answer, no bond, no. You want your clients to be accountable for their prior misdeeds so they don't repeat their misdeeds. I'm not here just to get somebody off. I'm here as a defense attorney more to help them get back on the straight and narrow. If you have a drug problem, with a bail commission, you can work through that. There are services that the bail commissioner can help you with. There's a what they call a jail reinterview service, which if you are incarcerated and you have a drug problem and there are issues with mental health. There are facilities that the bail commissioner will help you get into, maybe for a 30-day stay, maybe for a 90-day stay, or maybe for 6 months to a year. But you know what? Helping an individual come off of drugs, get the mental health treatment they need,
yeah,
give them some self-worth to go forward in life, and then address whatever the underlying charge is and be released to the public and don't repeat it. Here, with the bail reform in New York, obviously this guy had no qualm repeating this behavior.
Zero.
And law enforcement, arrest them, give them a summons, and tell them to go on your way. Your arraignment is going to be within 24 days.
You know, you could even argue, we're chatting with Frank Bevilacqua from DePamphilis and Valerie. You know, the guy was found hiding under the bed or the sofa in the apartment by police. He didn't even run. So maybe there is something seriously, you know, wrong mentally with this guy. You could even argue that these prior counts of criminal mischief to some extent are a cry for help before he was going to do something even worse. You could argue
that.
In other words, he didn't get the help, but in doing these quote unquote lower level crimes, he was crying out for someone to notice him, to get him some help.
I've had clients, and I'm not going to give names, that prefer staying in because they had three meals a day and somewhere warm to live and no family to speak of on the outside. And I would say, I could get you out. You've done more than enough time for your offense. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go. They become institutionalized. And that's on the other hand, it's terrible.
Yeah. But I mean, I see this, and then you see this eruption of the slaughter of this innocent woman, and you say to yourself, there are so many instances where the system should have and could have stopped this from happening before it happened.
You know, and I'm going to blame the former mayor of New York City. He ruined the city. He destroyed New York. He destroyed it. There's no doubt in my mind that he and his philosophy and his programs or lack of and his behavior and the whole anti-law enforcement push that went on for several, a year or two, but it was terrible to do to the respectful men and women that are there to enforce the law. And I'm a defense attorney speaking about that, and I'll tell you why. They're doing their job. Obviously, in every field, there are some bad apples. Weed them out, get them off the government's payroll, and let the good men and women work their job and do their job. I disagree with the legislature doing any sort of control over the judicial system when they have not worked in this field. If they did work in this field and this is still their philosophy, I don't know these people. And I don't want to know these people because they're not helping the public at large. You just cannot have this behavior. I mean, look at what's going on Fifth Avenue. All products aren't displayed anymore because of the individuals coming in, crash and grab and
taking
run.
Taking them. I know. I saw that.
Most recently, it was done in White Plains in the Westchester Mall. Now, I don't know if any of your listeners shop there. It's a beautiful facility, and they did it there. I do, too. And they did that there. I mean, it in California, they're going into Walgreens. I read an article on a webpage that they went into Walgreens to the point where Walgreens is closing all their stores in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah. All their Walgreens stores in San Francisco are being closed because of loss. And the security guards are just watching these people rob.
Well, because the
security... happened recently in New York.
Well, what is a security guard supposed to do? I mean, if he puts his hands on anybody, he's going to be sued. But I mean, I agree with you. Why are they there? I never thought they should be. I don't even know what they're doing there.
But then who? Then we empower the criminal.
Why? No, you never used to need. You never used to need a security guard to walk into a store, Frank. People were honest. They were assumed to be honest. They were going to pay for things. And if they weren't going to be honest and they were going to steal, then you could follow it up with a shoplifting report. You didn't. We both lived in a time where not every store needed its own security patrol.
Right. But in Connecticut, when you walk out of a store with an item and you pass all points of purchase, you're charged with larceny 6 or 5 or 4,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So that's still the law in Connecticut.
Correct. If you apprehend the individual, but if you're going to watch somebody just leave the store stealing something, and then if they get caught by law enforcement, they're just going to be released. Oh, they just lost whatever they took. Okay, they take it away, and they just release them. Where's the deterrence from this behavior? Then it becomes a number game. Well, I could do it 10 times, and the 11th time I may get caught, so I'll lose that load of items I just took. That's wrong. And it affects not only the merchants, it affects the public. And do you feel safe shopping in a facility where you don't know from 1 minute to the next a group of men or women are going to come in, break the glass, start stealing? Do you feel safe in that environment?
That's a very good point, Frank. It's a very good point.
Yep. I mean, the Westchester Mall was, to me, one of the most beautiful places, indoor shopping.
Yeah.
And now it's happening there?
Yeah. 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 Well, the tide will turn. The public will get fed up. You'll see.
Well, the public's got to get fed up and start voting individuals out that draft provisions that empower the criminal based on their economic failures in life. That's the tide has to turn. Their bonds have to be posted on put on these individuals. The good judges in the courts, the state's attorneys, and give the defense attorneys an opportunity to argue that it's maybe excessive, but you want a bond there to reassure the individual will appear, or whoever posted that bond will make sure that individual does appear in court so they don't lose it. And give defense attorneys an opportunity to work with these individuals, help them move forward. Every public defender's office I've gone to within the state of Connecticut, they have the most incredibly educated social workers that are so educated in the facilities and programs that can help individuals. And they work all hours of the day. Yesterday I was getting emails up until, I think it was 8:30, 9 o'clock last night on Valentine's Day from a social worker working with an individual out of Stanford Court. So letting them loose on no bond is not helping them. You're hurting them. You're hurting them.
Thank you, Frank. Frank Bevilacqua from DePamphilis and Valerie, who's a criminal defense attorney. Thank you for your candor, and thank you for sharing your knowledge of the system. We always appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. Have a good day.
Thanks. We're going to be right back. We are talking Black history with the UConn professor, Fiona Vernal, and we're going to be talking about one of her areas of interest in particular is the impact of missionaries and obviously Christianity on the African-American slave population in the diaspora. 203-333-9422 is our number. Stay tuned for a stimulating, fascinating conversation when we come back.